right, let's bow our heads and we will pray over the word of God, and we will do this extremely brief. So let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, with your Bibles in your hands, repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. We are a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise this morning. Amen. I do appreciate you. This sermon today is called Simply Bounce. Bounce. Just bounce with me. Some people say lean with it, rock with it. I'm just going to say just bounce. So we're going to talk about bounce, but we're actually not really going to talk about bounce till the end. We'll deal with it later. We want to deviate from it just by picking up what we talked about last Sunday. They kind of stuck with me. I was preaching to you, but I was preaching to myself last Sunday as well. And so it actually blessed me as well. So let's pick it back up. We talked about adversity. I want to go back to the definition of adverse. And adverse is this: preventing success or development, harmful or unfavorable. We were talking about the things that we sometimes go through, even in this Christian life. But this word jumped out to me today. It has the same root word, but a different prefix. And it is this word. It is the word reverse. So going from adverse to reverse. And reverse means turn something the other way around, or up or inside out, to make something the opposite of what it was, to reverse. And in our case, to reverse the curse. And so if the adversity is coming from the curse, we're looking for God to reverse it. On last week, we ended in our conclusion that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, which means trouble has an expiration date. So when trouble stays beyond when it should, when it overstays its welcome, we're looking for God to get in there and to reverse things for us and in our favor. All right, so this is probably just an easier way to say it or show it, so I'll have them just put this up here. I know some of y'all ain't always that spiritual, and every now and then you play Uno. I like spades, but some of y'all ain't spades players. Some of y'all like Uno. Go backwards just a step. I think they're having a few little issues. Just hang up there just for a second. So that card is quite important, because when things are going in one direction, when you play that card, you can shift it from going one direction to the next direction. If the person to your left had hit you with a draw four and you want to get your get back, you can't get them with the current direction. You got to reverse things in another direction. And sometimes the devil has already done his hit and he done moved on. And if I'm going to get my lick back with the devil, I need some stuff to be reversed. Somebody say reverse. All right, so let's go further. I'm going to just touch on 8 keys to reversing our adversity. So we're piggybacking off of last week, and we've talked about getting through the adversity, but let's look about actually some levels of reversing. And I'm going to stay in the same chapter because it was one thing. Actually, several things jumped out to me, but I just locked in on Hezekiah. Some of you Bible scholars understand the story of Hezekiah, and I just wanted to lock in on that. So we're going to stay in 2 Kings chapter 20 mostly today. And so, Mother Mitchell, let's start there with verse 1.
About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him. He gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. You will not recover from this illness.
My God, the man of God comes to the king and lets him know this sickness you're dealing with is actually going to take you out. That is not the greatest prophetical word to receive to make you happy and shout and dance. I don't believe Hezekiah ran 3 times around the building, the church building. It's not the greatest news, but at least God gave him a heads up. So let's look at verse 2.
When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord.
So this leads me to our very first key. Number 1, put it up here for us. Prayer is key to reversal. Now, he had received a word from the prophet, but the scripture says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, which means he did not look to outside sources, but he turned inward and he went into prayer. You're not going to get adverse situations to reverse if you don't have a prayer life. If every time you go through something, you only run to Facebook and you only run to Target for retail therapy, you run to Amazon to retail therapy, and you run to Hennessy for some therapy, you've got to have that extra oomph that I know how to get a prayer through for myself when I need it the most. Hezekiah turned and he prayed to the Lord. There are some things you will never get reversed without some sincere prayer. Prayer life. I don't like some of the old things of the old church, like some of the old rules, like women can't wear makeup and women can't wear pants and you can't go to the park and you'll go to hell. I'm glad we got delivered from all of that. But the only thing we got delivered from all that, we got technology and screens and lights, but sometimes we lost our prayer life. Them old mothers knew how to pray, the moaning women, the cunning women. They didn't always have a lot of words, but sometimes they'd get into church and just say, oh, come through, Jesus. Come through, Lord. I need some praying people. I need some moaning people, some rocking people that know how to pray till the gas prices come down. Know how to pray till that joker get out of your face. Know how to pray till the devil move out of your life. Know how to pray till the bank account gets back where it needs to be. Know how to pray until that muffler start acting right. Sometimes the muffler is bad. You go to the dealer. The dealer tell you your muffler, your transmission, they tell you everything's wrong. And you say, I ain't got money for all that, but I'm praying over this car and watch the car work the way it's supposed to work. You ain't going to reverse some stuff without prayer. Need some praying folk in this day and age. Let's go to verse number 3.
Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly.
Broke down and he wept bitterly. Let's look at point number 2 of the key. Faithfulness is key to reversal. Not only did he pray, but he had a track record behind his prayer. And he was able to go to God and said, God, I've been faithful. God, you can watch me. You can look at my track record and tell I'm not a wishy-washy Christian. I'm not a wishy-washy saint. I've been faithful. I've been in this thing a while. I've been in this thing a long time. I'm not a two-second Christian. I'm not a two-minute Christian. I'm not a two-week Christian. I've been in this thing a while. And so he said, I've been faithful, God. And so here's the thing about adversity. Sometimes you look at your faithfulness and you look at your adversity and it just don't match up. And that's when you begin to understand there may be a need for reversal. It's a possibility the adversity I'm going through is because of the faithfulness that I have. Because when folk aren't faithful, the devil don't have to attack them. Many times he wants to attack the faithful folk. But don't be afraid to bring up your faithfulness. This is not in the notes, but some of you Bible scholars will remember that there was a man named Cornelius, and the scripture says that his giving came up as a memorial before the Lord. In other words, God remembered who he was. And if you know anything about Hezekiah, there was a lot of crazy kings, but when Hezekiah showed up, he began to really serve the Lord. So he had a track record. Let's go to verse 4.
But before Isaiah had left the middle courtyard, this message came to him from the Lord.
Go to verse 5.
Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer.
Heard your prayer.
And seen your tears.
And seen your tears.
I will heal you. And 3 days from now, you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord.
Hold on. Just a few minutes ago, he was told by the Lord, you going to die. But he prayed to God. He brought up his faithfulness. And the next thing you know, God says 3 days later, you getting up. That's a reversal, and that's a quick reversal. But let's add something there. Number three. And I need some of you women to hear this key. Number three. Tears are key to reversal. Now, me being a man, sometimes I've said to women, even I've said it to my wife, unfortunately, stop all that crying. Quit all that crying. But here God says, I see your tears. And God told me to stop by and tell somebody, your prayers have been more tears lately. But God wants you to know, I see your tears, and I'm answering because of your tears. And now that I'm a father myself, I've learned that certain tears move me. Now my boys are not really criers. I haven't seen them cry too much. But if baby girl, if I come home from work and baby girl is crying, I want to know what's going wrong. Who bothered you? Who messed with you? I want to know, because I want to move in, because somebody made my baby cry. And I hear the Father God saying, somebody made Teresa cry, and somebody made Krista cry, and somebody made Trish cry, and I got to show up on their behalf, because these tears mean something to me. And if you read Psalms, David says he bottles up every tear. There's not a tear you cry that God don't know about. There's not a tear you cry that God hasn't seen. And it's just interesting right now that my brother, my second brother, happens to be here, and he's sitting in the back row on the left side, and my mother sitting in the front row on the left side. But when he was getting in trouble, my mother would go to bed crying over her baby. Crying and praying. And yes, he spent some time in prison, but God saw those tears, snatched him out of prison, and said, I'm about to turn him around. Now they're sitting in the same church service, because your tears mean something to God. And I don't know whose mama I'm talking to. You've been praying
and you've been crying. You've been praying and you've been crying. But I hear God saying, you ain't crying too much longer, because I'm going to show up and show out on your behalf. Your tears mean something to your God. Oh, yeah. Keep talking to the women for a moment, not just talking about you parental mother tears, but some of y'all cry lonely tears. I ain't got a man to hold my hand. Ain't got a man to lay the bed with. Because God was waiting for all them jokers you was attracted to get out the way. But when God come through for you, you won't be lonely forever. Just in case I need somebody to start looking at wedding dresses. Just in case. Case, I need you to start tasting some wedding cake, just in case. I need you to start looking at honeymoon destinations, just in case. Because when God get ready to dry your ear, when God get ready to reverse a situation, he can turn a thing all the way around. Look at your neighbor and say, God get ready to reverse it for me.
Oh, yeah. All right, all right. Yeah, I didn't preach a lot of funerals, but I'm ready to do some weddings too. I'm ready to do some destination weddings. Now listen, if you get enough money to have a destination wedding, don't forget me. Buy me a ticket too. I preached it and I'm ready to receive it as well. Shoot. And if you want to look at some destinations, talk to me. I'll tell you where I want to go. Oh, but your tears mean something to God. Oh, I thought I was going to get off of that. Some of y'all crying about your job because your boss won't treat you right and the company won't treat you right. And they give everybody promotion but you. Everybody will raise but you. But those tears on your pillow mean something. And you better watch how God will move folk right out your way. God will shift things in your favor because he's just that kind of God. He's holding the reverse Uno car and he's ready to drop it at the right time. No, let me stay on this just for a second. There are times that I've had the reverse car, but I didn't play it right away. Because I want to wait till I can pair it up with something. Especially if it's just a two-person Uno thing. So I don't want to just reverse it and don't have nothing to follow up behind it. So I'll wait till I can reverse, draw four Uno out all in the same play. And God and the devil is playing Uno and your life is there. And he hasn't played the reverse yet because he's waiting till he got something to put behind it. But baby, when he throw the card down, things are going to turn in your favor. All right, let's look at verse 6.
I will add 15 years to your life and I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David.
Now, God got to talking about other stuff. Now, all Hezekiah was worried about was the sickness in his body. And God said, no, I heard your prayers. I seen your tears. I'm going to take care of your sickness. I'm going to add 15 years to your life. By the way, that king that's been bothering you and your people, I got him too. By the way, I got that too. I hear God saying, by the way, I got that too. Here's the truth about us in our Christian life. Some of the stuff we're going through, we can't tell nobody about. But I hear God saying, I got that too. Let's look at number four. Point key number four. God's agenda is key to reversal. So God says, I'm about to do some stuff that ain't even got nothing to do with you, Hezekiah. But what happened is the devil, when he messed with you, he messed with my agenda. When he messed with your life, he messed with my calendar and with my clock. So I'm stepping into your life, Hezekiah, not just because of you, but because it's my agenda. And here's what I need you to understand. When God gets ready to bless a family, he might just have to bless you, and it ain't about you. He's trying to get to your whole family. The generational curse that's in your whole family, God's trying to get to you so I can reverse the curse in the whole family. It ain't really about you. It's about his agenda. So step back and let God do what he got to do. Whoever you got to jack up, jack them up, God. Whoever you got to mess with them, God. I'm not getting in your way anymore. I'm not worried about it anymore. I'm not praying for harm for nobody. But if you need to take down a president, take down the president. If you need to remove a governor, remove a governor. If you need to move a CEO out the way, do whatever you got to do to make a way for me. I'm going to let you do it because it's about your agenda. It's about you, God. All right. And let's also look to number five. Four and five, we put them together. Who you are is key to reversal. Because God says it's about Hezekiah. He said, I'm going to do it because of my servant David. Now, David has long been dead. But I need you to understand God's doing some stuff for you based on some folk in your ancestry. God getting ready to deliver you for Harriet Tubman's sake. And Harriet been gone a long time. But Harriet had an anointing to free folk and deliver folk. And God said, I'm about to deliver some folk. You may no longer be a physical slave, but you're still a mental slave. And I'm about to deliver you. Like I'm going to take you through the Underground Railroad and just pull you out on the other side. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's about who you connected to. But it's also who you are. Because there are some people that's going to get rescued because of you. It's going to be some people that's rescued because they're good to you. God told Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. You better be good to me because God will bless you because you're good to me. You better be glad I got on the plane because when I got on the plane can't go down because there's an assignment on my life. Oh, the connection is important. That's why you can't just be with any and everybody. You can't be connected to any and everybody. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but when you connected to me, there's some stuff just gonna have to happen in your life. Now I ain't gonna lie that we used to walk out in the parking lot and all the cars was looking rough. But baby, when you walk out in the DT parking lot now, you look at new car after good looking car after good looking car. Because when you get connected to me, you can't stay broke all your life. Blessings got to find you. Blessings got to come your way. Because you connected with the right folk. Let me tell you something. If Oprah was my best friend, I ain't got no business being broke. I'm telling you that right now. I ain't got no business being broke. If Michael Jordan was my best friend, I ain't got no business with no buddies on my feet. Give me some Air Jordans. I'm connected to you, and there's some stuff I'm supposed to get. And if your pastor is getting blessed, you're supposed to be getting blessed too. And let me flip it. Let me flip it. Let me lay down, flip it, and reverse it. If the members is getting blessed, the pastor ought to get blessed. Well, pastor, I seen one of your members buying the lottery. Leave them alone, because if they hit, they going to bless me too. You stay out of it. Let God do what he got to do. Let him work. Hey, Father, give them numbers, God. Now, I don't play it, but that don't mean y'all can't. God, give them some numbers. Give in the midnight hour, drop some numbers in the spirit, God. 2 Kings 20, verse 7. Let's read that.
Then Isaiah said, make an ointment from figs. So Hezekiah's servants spread the ointment over the boil, and Hezekiah recovered.
Now, God told him, first you're going to die. Then it got reversed. You're going to live. You're going to live another 15 years. So you think he would just touch him and everything's going to go well. But he actually used some stuff. So I need to add this to it. Number six. We only got eight of them. So we're at number six. Natural actions are key to reversal. Now, God used some natural stuff. God don't want to just do it always through the extra. Sometimes he wants to do it through the normal. In other words, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I got a headache. Baby, take you an Advil. Leave me alone. There's some stuff you can, there's some natural stuff you can do on your own. Well, Pastor, the Ozempic ain't working. Well, baby, go to the gym too. Do some natural stuff. All of this stuff is not supposed to be spooky. Some of it is just natural. Pastor, I want a car. Have you ever gone to the car lot? Pastor, I want a car, but you don't even have a driver's license. Let's start with the natural stuff. Pastor, I want a house, but you ain't never worked on your credit score. Let's, God uses the natural stuff too. Pastor, I want a husband, but you go outside nappy-headed all the time. All you got is moo-moos. Stop buying moo-moos. You're going to have to start doing some natural stuff to work and correspond with the spiritual things. Oh, let me be real simple. Pastor, pray that God do it for me. And you don't log in online. And you don't come in the house of God. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you. But you might want to do some stuff too. Because faith without works is dead. Do some stuff. Oh, God, help my son with his grades. You may have to buy a tutor. Your son is dyslexic. You might need to get him diagnosed and figure some stuff out. But as you put the natural, in other words, here's a good way to say it. God gonna do what he's gonna do, but you need to do what you're supposed to do. The scripture says we are co-laborers with God. Have you ever worked on a job and you did your part, but they wouldn't do their part? It makes everything bad when things won't work together. Now, I'm a team leader at my job, and on Monday through Thursday, we're supposed to be shipping out certain parts. And so there's times the truck will show up and we don't have the parts to ship them. And I got to figure stuff out. And I want to say, how about before you order the truck, you figure out what we got before you make all these decisions? It would help me. I can help you better if you would do your part. But since I'm on live, I ain't going to say too much. But you know, somehow management always act like it's the workers' fault all the time. But sometimes, maybe I don't have the degree you have, but I know simple stuff. 2 + 2 don't equal 18. If you would do the simple stuff, you can help me help you. Amen. All right. I'm just give you another example, and then I'm going to move on. Sometimes your kids. Do this for me. I hope I get a good Christmas. You can help me help you. Because if I got to beg you to clean your room, beg you to take out the trash, beg you to obey me, beg you to respect me, it's going to be much harder for me to give you a nice Christmas. Help me help you by doing the basic stuff. If we would do the things, God could do the rest of it. Here's the thing, and let's put it in context. God said, listen, I'm going to add 15 years to your life, but first of all, these little figs and these little oil, put them on. Do what you got to do. Ooh, Pastor, I just can't stop coughing. Before you call me, buy some Robitussin at least. Have you tried NyQuil? I'll pray for you, but at least do some of the basic stuff. We could work together. Pastor, I got insomnia, and I wake up and I just can't make it to work on time. Maybe stop scrolling on your phone at 3:30 in the morning, and you could wake up at 5. Some stuff I don't need to pray for. You just need to do the natural stuff so God can do the spiritual stuff. It's just simple wisdom. Let's go on to verse number 8. Or let me use this acronym, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
That's right. Meanwhile, Hezekiah had said to Isaiah,
hold on just a second. You're right. Verse 8.
What sign will the Lord give to prove that he will heal me and that I will go to the temple of the Lord 3 days from now?
All right. I need to add this. After all I told you, I just need to add this. Put number 7 up. Supernatural signs are key to reversal. Yeah, you got to do the natural stuff, but sometimes you've done all the natural and you still need something supernatural. So supernatural signs are a key reversal. So this is what Hezekiah said. Yes, I'm putting the figs on. I'm putting the oil on. But is there a sign that you can show me something? Just this week, God gave me a sign. I was laying down I had been up just after work, but I stayed up a little past work. In the back, helped me out. But I stayed up a little bit past work, and so it was about 10:30 a.m., and I'm laying down. And as I laid down, I said, God, just give me a dream if I'm on the right track. Got a lot of stuff I'm thinking about the church, a lot of decisions I've got to make. I'm close to possible retirement, so a lot of decisions. I said, God, if I'm on the right track, just give me a dream. I want to wake up with a dream. Guess what? I woke up with nothing. Didn't get nothing. I said, okay, just because you asked for it don't mean God got to do it. So I went on about my day, went on about my business. And then what I normally do, if I get to sleep late in the morning, I'll try to take another nap before work. And so as I was laying down for my nap before work, which is probably around 7:30 p.m., the phone went off. And I picked it up, and it was a text from Pastor Draper. And he said, I know I ain't talked to you in a long time, but God told me to tell you because you've been faithful. And because he said God sees you and God wants you to know you right on track. Woo. My. Now I asked God for a dream and it seemed like God didn't answer my prayer, but he still had a supernatural sign. And I look back up in our text thread. We hadn't texted each other since 2025. We hadn't talked in that way in over a year. But just so happened when I asked for it, God dropped it in his spirit to text me just what I needed to know. So even though you do the natural, sometimes you still need the supernatural. Now, what I asked for would have been supernatural, but the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. I'm not going to give you a dream. I'm going to drop something in somebody else's spirit and have them text you at the right time. And here's the thing, when I woke up and didn't get a dream, I didn't get an attitude. I just went on about my day. But when I went before I went to sleep again, God had something come. And so I need you to understand this. It's okay to start looking for the supernatural. If you've done all you know to do, you've done all the natural you can, it's okay to expect God to go exceedingly abundantly and do what you can't do. I done checked every way I could. I done worked my credit every way I could. I still can't break past 650. I done tried everything. I done called everybody. So God, I done all I could do. I'm allowing you to step in and do what only you can do. I'm not going to get an attitude. I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to worship you anyhow. I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm coming to church anyhow. I'm thanking you anyhow. And I'm living proof that when you need the supernatural to show up, it'll show up and do what only the supernatural can do, because he's still God. He still sits on the throne. If I was a songwriter, I'd say he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's light in the darkness. He know how to do what need to be done. Not just having said that, this don't really affect me. because I have an electric car, but just yesterday on the way back from the highway, I was with my whole family, and they looked up and they said, wait a second, gas is $2.99. It's coming down. Listen, I'm not giving credit to Democrats and Republicans. Sometimes God will just do what need to be done when you need it to most. Have you ever had something that you need? I'll give you a perfect example. I was about to say, you ever had something that you needed to do, and you think, I don't know how I'm going to do it, and supernaturally, it just works out. And so I've been thinking that I needed to visit the friend in Africa who's been here twice. I've been to South Africa, but he's in Gambia, Africa. And so I've been figuring out I do need to go at some time. And so I was praying about it, and this felt like it was the year to go. But this is how we've made it up, is that I will fly myself there, and then you host me, you feed me, and I'll preach for you. And vice versa, he flies himself to me, I host him, feed him, and give him an offering. So I'm going to have to come up off some dollars to fly to Africa, but I made up my mind, this is the year I got to go. I prayed about it, and here's the thing, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. So I just get to looking and checking things. I love me some Delta, but this was not a Delta anointing. Delta was talking about some 17, 18, 1900. You staying on the sidelines today. And so then let me look at some other stuff, talking about 2500. It's not that I can't do it, but I just didn't feel the anointing for that. So I just kept looking. And then I remembered through the Holy Ghost memory that I got this one card that I paid off and I haven't used in a while. And I said, let me look at it. And it's got some points on it. And let me look at the points. And so then I'm not going to just make a whole long story about it, because it's a little bit longer. Let me just bring it all the way down to the simple so you can get it. I've already got my ticket booked. I booked it 2 months ago. And guess how much it's costing me to go to Africa? $175. Not one-way trip, but to go there and to come all the way back. Now, it ain't nonstop. I'm going to have to jump a couple of flights. But, baby, you can't hardly go to Anderson for $175. You can't hardly make it from Muncie to Kokomo for $175. But when the supernatural shows up, God know how to do stuff that just don't make no kind of sense. God, give me a crazy blessing. Give me a supernatural, don't make sense kind of blessing, because you can do it. And I'll give you all the glory. Hallelujah. It's going to lead me to point number 8. 7 and 8 we put together. Point number 8, asking is the key to reversal. Sometimes you just got to ask for what you want. Now, this is not from me. I heard someone else say it, but it really gripped me and grabbed me. It was on TikTok. I have no idea who it is, but a man was talking, and he said, the problem with some Christians and what got me, he began to talk about adversity, what I had just talked about, and he said, many times Christians who've been through adversity, what happens is when they've been disappointed multiple times, one of the things that Christians do is they begin to start lowering their faith. They begin to start creating a theology that matches what they've experienced. And he said, God told me to encourage you no longer to drop your expectation based on what you've seen up until this point, but get bold and ask God for some more. And I'm here to let you know it's time, even though it didn't happen the way you wanted last time, I'm saying ask him again. Ask him for more. Don't be nervous, don't be scared, but ask him for some big stuff. Some of us, we just asking for little stuff. God, help me find a parking spot. Thank God for a parking spot. But I need you to get your hopes up a little bit higher than that. Ask some crazy stuff. Brother Marshall said, he said, shoot for the moon, because even if you miss, you might land in the stars. You got to start expecting some higher things and asking for some higher things. God wants to reverse some stuff, but we got to ask for some stuff. So guess what? Even in a down economy, say, God, bring me some money. even if you're 87, God, bring me a relationship. I mean, just start asking. It don't mean you're going to get it all, but if you get just some of them, if you get just a few of them, I'm ready to have a service where I'm not preaching, and it's just a look at what God did service, where we take the camera and just go around the room, and you ain't even got to say nothing. Just point to your blessing. Look at this and look at that. But it won't come if we get scared and stop asking. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace and ask in our time of need, and we'll have grace and mercy. So I'm going to ask for some bigger stuff. I'm going to ask for some better stuff. I'm no longer lowering my expectation. God, you can blow my mind. God, you can make me a spectacle. God, you can show out in my life. God, I need you to do it, so I'm asking for it.
Hallelujah. All right. That was the eighth one, and that was the last one. But I got a few more things. Let's finish this up, verses 9 through 11.
Isaiah replied, "This is the sign from the Lord to prove that he will do as he promised. Would you like the shadow on the sundial to go forward 10 steps or backward 10 steps?"
Look at number 10. Verse number 10.
"The shadow always moves forward," Hezekiah replied. "So that would be easy. Make it go 10 steps backward instead."
Now here's Hezekiah. He had already been through a bad situation. But he said, "God, I ain't going to ask you for nothing easy. I actually want to choose the hard one. God, give me the extra one." Yeah, it's a possibility a bike from Walmart might be easy for you to do. So, God, I don't want that. God, give me a brand new SUV. Stop lowering your stuff. Just bless me with an ice cream sandwich for Dairy Queen. No, baby, just shoot up a little bit higher. Get at least the Ruth Chris level. Ask for some higher stuff. God, it's too easy for you to do that. So I'm raising the level. Go up just a little bit higher. And he asked for something that was more difficult. Look at verse number 11.
"So Isaiah the prophet asked the Lord to do this, and he caused a shadow to move 10 steps backward on the sundial of Ahaz."
Did exactly what he asked. I'm going to take us on into the conclusion. And here's in the conclusion. I got 2 points I'm going to add. I already gone through our 8 points. I got 2 points to add. I'll do it kind of quick. I'll read these verses here. Reversal helps you see the big picture. All right. And here's one thing from the big picture. Isaiah 38:17. So 2 Kings 20 and Isaiah 38, they tell the same story. It's both about Hezekiah, but I like 2 Kings better. But there was something in Isaiah I wanted to pick up. So let me read this. It says, "Yes, this anguish was good for me, for you have rescued me from death and forgiven all my sins." So here's the thing about some adversity and reversal is once you come on the other side, you're able to say, actually, what I went through was good for me. I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it. I wouldn't have scheduled it. But now that I'm on the other side of it, I see the big picture, because it made me like Marvin Sapp said, it made me stronger, wiser. But I never would have made it. But when I look back over, I'm wiser. I'm stronger. So the reversal helps me see the big picture. Here's B. Not only that, but the reversal has a reason. There's a big picture for the adversity, but there's also a reason. Here's the reason found in verse 20 of Isaiah 38. "Think of it. The Lord is ready to heal me. I will sing his praises." This is the reason. "I will sing his praises with instruments every day of my life in the temple of the Lord." Let me just say it real easy. Some stuff, if you're not delivered from something big, you really don't have nothing to praise him for. But once you come out of the big stuff. You get one of them praises that can't nobody stop you from praising. Andre, I need you to stop all that hollering in the mic. And the baby, I done been through too much to stop hollering. I can't be no cute, sweet preaching now. I can't be no quiet preaching now. God done brought me from too much. So the reversal has a reason. It's put a praise in me that I can't just praise on Sunday morning. I got to praise on Monday. I can't just praise in the church. I might praise in my house. I might praise in the grocery store. I might praise on my job. I might praise on a roller coaster. I might praise in the park. I might praise on the beach. It makes no difference, because the reason for the reversal, it puts a praise in me that the devil can never take away from me again. The devil never have me on hush mouth again. All right. Going back to one thing from last week. Here's another thing. I talked about sometimes the empire just strikes back. And that's, we explained that. But the next movie after Empire Strikes Back is called Return of the Jedi. I would explain that because I'm a Star Wars buff, but we ain't got time for all that. But basically, after the Empire struck back, it made all the weak Jedi go into hiding. But the one that had the anointing, he came with a return. And here's the thing. Sometimes as stuff is being shaken, see, we just went through a storm, a real natural storm, and stuff gets shaken and stuff gets uprooted. But those people who are real, they don't get shaken. They just bounce. Told you I was going to come back to that. Let's put up something we used from last week. Still working through my conclusion. Here it is. Pressure bursts pipes. Pressure also makes diamonds. We shared that last week. Let's add something to that. Pressure controls the bounce back. Every now and then, I'll go into Alana's room, and she got some of those little rubbery colored balls. And if you would just drop it slow, it only bounces slow. You drop it little, it only bounces little. But if I want to get it to go real high, I got to slam it down. But the more I slam it down, it bounces up twice or triple the times that I put it down. So pressure controls the bounce. So if you've only had a little bit of pressure, that's why your bounce back is so low. But baby, if you've been under the pressure we've been under and you've been slammed down, I'm here to let you know your bounce back is kind of great. Now, I can preach it, but let me look and tell you. Let me tell you what the dictionary says. Go ahead and put the dictionary up. The dictionary says this way: move quickly up, back, or away from a surface after hitting it, rebound. Yeah, the grief hit me down, but watch me bounce back up. Yeah, when they left me, it hurt me bad, but watch me bounce back up. The pressure that I was under is controlling how high I go. And here's the thing. People will judge you for your height, but they won't know the pressure you was under. So you better not judge me on my next level, because you don't know the hell I've been through. You don't know how hard I hit the ground. You don't know how hard I hit the surface. But I got to bounce down on the inside, and I'm about to shoot up higher than I've ever shot up before, because the pressure, it didn't blow me up. All it did is it put me in another stratosphere. Go ahead and throw this up here. Somebody say bounce. Bounce with me, baby. Bounce with me. My bounce is mean. My bounce is strong. My bounce is nice. Now let's close with this. Here's why my bounce is so good. Because I've been believing. I've been overcoming. And because I'm believing and overcoming, I'm unshakable. Not only am I unshakable, but I'm nimble. Let me talk about this nimble just for a second. When I was in college, I was skinny, a little skinny and scrawny. Go ahead, come back on me for a second. I was skinny and scrawny, and one of the football players, had challenged me to wrestle because he got tired of my mouth. I was skinny and scrawny, but I had a mouth. He said, I'm tired of your mouth, and so I challenge you to wrestle. But guess what? He couldn't pin me. And he said later, he said, if you would be still, I could pin you. He was stronger than me, but I was too nimble. Every time he tried to grab me, I slither out. And then I talk, and I would just be talking. We was playing, but he actually got frustrated. But I learned, if I don't let him get a hold of me, he can't take me down. I'm here to let you know the devil tried to grab me, but he couldn't grab me. The devil tried to stop me, but I was too nimble. I float like a butterfly. I sting like a bee. I can rumble, young men rumble. I'm too nimble to go down. I'm too nimble to be broke. I'm too nimble to stay depressed. I'm too nimble to be lonely forever. I've been believing. I've been overcoming. I'm unshakable. But I'm nimble too. All right. Put this back up. Put it back up. Now in that example, I was nimble because of me. But here's the truth. I'm nimble because I'm covered. Oh, I'm covered. From the rooter to the tutor. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet. God got his hand on me. And the reason why the devil can't grab me is not just because I'm nimble. It's because God got a hedge of protection. And I told the saints, and I'm sorry. I'm so sorry it happened. And I'm so prayerful that it happened. But I also know because of God's covering, it just couldn't happen to me. In the storm, our next door neighbor, our literal next door neighbor, a tree fell right through their garage and into their living room. They're going to be displaced for 6 to 8 months. And I'm praying for them. I'm believing for them. But I also know because the angels of God, I believe the devil wanted that tree to fall a few feet over, but he can't mess with me because I'm covered. I'm at work and my babies and my wife are home by themselves, and the devil want me rushing home for work because a tree fell through. But God said, no, you can't do it. I'll move it to this other side. And the Bible says a thousand shall fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, but it won't come nigh you because you're covered under the secret place of the Most High. Now, I'm not saying that something's wrong with my neighbors. All I'm saying is what the devil had planned for me, he just can't do it. And because of that, here's the last one, and y'all can stand to your feet. Because of that, go back to the whole thing. Because of that, I am encouraged. I've been through adversity, but I'm encouraged because I'm believing, overcoming, I'm unshakable, I'm nimble, I'm covered, I'm encouraged, and basically I'm just bouncing back every single time. I weeble, but I don't wobble. I shake, but I don't break. I get pushed over, but I don't fall because of who is on my side and who's in my life. Here's our confession. Father God, through the power of your reverse, my bounce back season is about to be stronger than ever. My bounce back season is about to be stronger than ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just somebody shout, bounce back. Bounce back. All right, let's pray. And I speak this prophetically over Jason Nave. Bounce back in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Bounce back. Speak this over your kids and your family. Bounce back. Even in this economy, I speak it over your money. Bounce back. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we gonna bounce back. But we're not doing it because of us. We're doing it because of your reverse. And you done dropped the reverse card on the devil. And everything he tried to do is being reversed right back on his head. And we're bouncing back stronger, better, and higher than ever. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And somebody shout amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great, wonderful, marvelous week. Bounce back.